Hey there, audience. I didn't see you there at this pre-designed time that you were supposed to be watching us live. I'm Q, your host for tonight's round of The Last Word. And as you can see, surrounded on either side, I have fantastic guests that are going to blow your mind holes with their opinions tonight on all sorts of geeky pop culture topics, right? So let's meet them really quickly. Let's start with my... right. Is this my right? Maybe. Skeeter, what's going on, Skeeter?
Not much. How are you tonight, Q?
I am doing fantastically well, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you are prepared for the bloodbath that is going to happen tonight.
I pretty much am, because I am a vampire, so bloodbaths are my thing.
Perfect. Also, I need to remind you, please make sure that I am put on your life insurance policy. Thank you.
Got it.
Yes, we can talk more after the show. Don't worry. All right, next up on this side, we have Sarah. What's going on, Sarah?
I'm just here. I have a clear head. I'm going to keep things real casual. I have really low expectations, and I came to compete. It's going to be great.
That's just water,
family show.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just really trying to hydrate.
It's just, you know, just the American way.
I'm going to hydrate with you. Cheers. I'll see you on the other side. All right, let's see. Let's keep it moving across this. Wait, no, this way. Yep, there we go. Dan, what's going on, Dan?
Oh, hi. I'm Dan, and I'm the quiet one.
Perfect. Perfect. So, everyone, Dan will be leaving us in the first round. So, everybody, just say thanks for being here, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Bye. This is fun. Here we go. John, the devil man. What's up?
Yeah, nothing much. Just waiting for the storm to come in and break my internet connection.
As I told John before the episode started, if that happens, he automatically loses the game.
Automatically
loses. Also, like we just said goodbye to Dan, we could also preemptively say goodbye to John just in case. It's been great having you, John. Thank you
so
much.
I miss you already, Q. Oh, my God.
For competing. I sincerely appreciate it. Now, for those who are watching The Last Word for the first time, let me give you a little bit of how this show works. First off, I was having drinks with Sarah right before this episode, so we'll see what happens. The game is going to consist of three rounds. Each round consists of two questions. Our contestants here are going to answer these questions to the best of their ability, giving us their finest opinions, and they will be graded by this guy. And I will award points on, I don't know, whatever answers I like the best. These are whose line type rules, guys. Things are going to get weird in here. I have my notepad ready. I'm ready to write down some notes as people are responding to things so that I can really, like, judgmentally, like, deduct points while things are happening. As this happens, our contestants are going to get whittled down round to round until only two contestants remain in the final round, and they will answer the final question. And only one of them will get the honor of tonight's The Last Word, and that is 30 unfiltered seconds to do whatever they want. They can promote themselves, they can promote other people, they can chew bubble gum if they like. No rules. Now, speaking of rules, are you guys ready to play? All right, let's get into it. Round one goes a little something like this. We should probably have some music here over this burr, 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 air horn sounds. Cool. Round one. Let's do it. All right. I'm going to throw out the first question, guys. Here we go. Billionaires are practically scrambling to get themselves into space. I mean, I'm pretty sure I watched Bezos knock over an old woman just to get into his Astro Wienermobile first. Don't fact check that. That said, when the rats are running in one direction, it makes me start to wonder, is there something we should be running from? And how integral is space to the future of humanity? Easy questions, guys. I'm just throwing softballs out there. Let's start with Sarah. Give me your best answer. What do you
got? I gotta tell my time. Okay, we need to be running from... just our normal day of living. This one's my only serial answer. But we're in the middle of a recycling crisis. Recycling isn't real. Just so you guys know, when you send stuff away, it just gets thrown away. We don't have sand anymore. People don't know that we mined sand. We're running out of sand in the world. oil, helium, fish. We need to just change the way we're living, because what they're all going after, I guarantee you, all those billionaires, they're going after water. We're running out of water. That's why there's a race to space. And if even if you've seen the movie The Big Short, you remember the guy who called the housing market crash, he only invests in water now. I really think we're going to see a water crisis in our lifetime. Our children are SOL, are bad. And so right now what we need to be doing is we need to be changing the way we live. And space, I think, is going to be very important, because the second somebody finds water out there, it's going to cost $20 a bottle. And it's going to have some sexy space pussy on it, and it's just going to make us charge even more money. So that's really what they're going after. And it's a real thing that I don't think anybody realizes is a big problem. Also, space pussy, that might be out there too. So we're going to have to figure it out.
just so everybody knows, that's the second runner up, but water is the number one reason.
But space pussy is a really close second, right there. So like how our entire existence and how we, function as human beings, space pussy.
Got it. Excellent. Good to know, Sarah. I appreciate that answer. Let's kick it over to Dan. Dan, does yours involve space women and or water?
Well, kind of, I suppose.
Okay.
I think that, I have a friend and she is a Palladian starseed. So she's telling me that aliens are on the way, right? Oh, so that's what we're running. Well, I don't know if we're running from it or to it, but, if you see the news, you see that, spacecraft are a real thing now. And so I would say that it is we're running towards being with aliens.
I am on board with that. Mia is apparently all about Sarah's comment there. I can get behind that. Now I have a question though. So in your just to sum up what you're saying, Bezos is trying to make that first contact. That's what's really happening.
I suppose so, which probably leads back to space pussy, really. But
sure. Doesn't everything. Right. That's basically what we're saying here. Okay.
If I learned anything from Rick and Morty, yeah.
That's fair. And everybody knows the documentary Rick and Morty is very realistic as far as its depiction of space travel, alien interaction, so on and so forth.
Right.
Skeeter, what do you got for me?
Well, space is the great unknown. I could tell you these billionaires are going for just to get property set up so they can make their fortune off planet. But the truth is, they watched a lot of Star Trek. They want to be like Captain Kirk. They're out there just to get those women. That's all it is. They want to get all those women, lock them down, and say, hey, we're the true Kirk.
Sure.
That's about it, really.
I mean,
they nailed it right on the bat. That's what they're
doing. So agreeing with Sarah and kind of Dan. Got it. All right, John, do you differ in opinion from these three?
I mean, as much as I would like to Captain Kirk some green trim up in space, I really think the reason they're going there is because of the lawlessness. You can get away with, they're rich and they can get away with mostly anything over here, but you see now the Epsteins and stuff are committing suicide and in prison when they get caught doing the really naughty stuff. So if they just set up their little weird camps up there, they can get away with anything, hunting humans, mining resources that aren't available here, and trying to figure out how to get renewable energy from dark matter.
Oh, shit. Dark matter, mining, lawlessness. It's literally the wild, wild west in outer space.
Yes, yeah. You can also, now that the MCU is broken in the multiverse, you could try and figure out ways to siphon energy from the other alternate dimensions and stuff. So there's that as well.
I love it. I love these answers. I am here for it. It's time to award points. Sarah, right out the gate, I'm going to give you a 5-pointer. I mean, you're starting off strong. You came with opinions. You conquered my heart, because I feel like, first off, I was unaware of any water issues that were going on. So I feel like I've been educated in this moment. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, yeah, water's pretty important. So if I knew water was running out, I would probably hightail it to space as well, right? Now, Dan, I'm going to give you 3 points the 3 points that I gave you was because partially your answer was the same as Sarah's, partially. But you did have some originality in there, so I gave you the 3 points. But it may have you may have just been a victim of the order in which you were chosen. So I apologize for that. Skeeter, boy, same scenario. Because you agreed with both Dan and Sarah, your entire answer was essentially their answers. I gave you 2 points, my man. 2 points, though. It's not enough to get, or it's not too little to get eliminated yet. But you better have some original answers for me coming up. John, I'm giving you another 5-pointer. I'm giving you 5 points because your opinion was just different than everybody else's. No laws in space. You know what I'm saying? All of outer space is apparently made up of white claws because everybody knows where those are. Laws do not exist. Facts, people. Just like water disappearing. Well, welcome to The Last Word, the most educational show on the Project Nerd Network. All right, moving straight on to question number two. We're just going to get right to it. Let's move from penis rockets to empty pockets. People are shelling out ridiculous amounts of cash to get their hands on the newest gaming systems, right? PS5s, Xbox Series X's. I think there's some weird, like, slightly thinner Nintendo Switch now. I don't know. Some people may think that spending so much on a game system is ridiculous. And how dare you judge them? But it's time to turn the tables. What is the largest and silliest amount of money that you have spent on tech? And now I am going to judge you hard. Dan, what do you got?
Oof. I don't know if this counts as tech, but I've spent $2,000 on an amplifier, a guitar amp. Is that tech? Is that techy enough?
Yeah, I would say it's electronic. It uses electricity.
Yeah. Does it have to be a single purchase? Because, I mean, I own every single system, video game system, from Atari to modern systems. So it's do I get that kind of, like, sure, a lifetime span?
I don't know. Let me dig in a little bit deeper. That's pretty stupid. Are you an early adopter? Were you, like, like as soon as it comes out, you're getting it?
Pretty much, except for these new systems, because they're impossible to get.
No one did.
Yeah, they're impossible.
That's fair. I like it. All right, so really you kind of gave me one and also a bunch of other pieces of tech. So you are constantly spending money at a silly rate on silly things.
Yes.
Good to know. John, what have you purchased that's silly?
See, I'm not gainfully employed like the rest of you, so I don't have the money to spend on tech. I usually save up and run my credit into the ground so I can get things I need, like a new desktop, which I then use to play games. But the last thing that I bought that was really expensive was a Cintiq 22 Pro so that I could draw my animations and my comics on. It's just so fluid, but working in tandem with the desktop that I spent $2,500 on, my workflow just improved dramatically.
I love it. I don't know that I would say that any of that's silly. I've seen the things you produce, and they're worth some money. So, I'm on board with it. Sarah, what do you got?
Okay, stay with me on this one, all right? Yes, all right, so this is pre the early days of Comic-Con, okay? Where there wasn't, like, raffles and no internet, things like that. The world's first largest action figure, a Sentinel from the X-Men series, was coming out. It was my second Comic-Con ever. So this is before everything. So if we're going to count money also as time, hear this story. I get up at 4 a.m. I walk down to my hotel. I sleep in a line for 2 hours, spend another 2 hours in the hot sun walking across just among, no offense, tons of smelly nerd men. No one's heard of deodorant. The beating sun is coming down on us. The ocean breeze is not helping. I get all the way to the line, and I get an orange ticket. And this orange ticket says, now you're allowed to get in line tomorrow to maybe buy the thing that you're here for. Cut to the next day. Now I'm up at 3 a.m. I walk down the damn pier by myself, a woman alone. Shows you how much I want this shit. I go, and I get in line, and I wait in line for 4 hours. I get to the damn end of the line, and wouldn't you know it, they were stopped. They stopped giving them out, and they said, it's okay. You can come back later. Now I have a panel that I need to get to. So I go ahead, and I go to ballroom 20, and I wait for the moment where there's a panel I don't want to see. I grab a bathroom pass. I rush back to the exhibit hall. I run in, and no offense, men can be a little persuasive with the right tactic. So I go up to the security guard and I tell him that I was in line, and then the guy pushed me out, and then nobody believes me because this is still early Comic-Con, so there's not a lot of girls there. And I go ahead and I get in, I buy my $150 Sentinel, I run back and make it back in time for the Simpsons panel. It took me about 36 hours to get this action figure, and when I press the center, it goes, prepare to be arrested, and that's what makes a tech scene.
I was captivated. I feel like I just watched a film. And yeah, I so loved it.
36 hours to get a toy, and I still fucking have it, and it's worth it.
That's impressive. I like it.
Money and time.
Some may think you're a loony toony for it, but I understand. I get it.
Worth it.
Skeeter, what do you got?
I hate to hurt everybody's feelings, but I'm a DJ, so I spend anywhere between and a gamer and a monster movie nut. So I spend anywhere between $10,000 to $12,000 a year on tech. So I'm buying all the laptops. I go about every 2 years. They're $3,000 a piece. I buy a top of the line gaming computers, sound systems, mixers, you name it. The money just keeps cash flowing out to buy tech. So it's then I'm a, like I said, a big movie nut. So I'm buying I went from DVD to Blu-ray to 4K now, and now I found out I'm going to have to buy 8K. So that'll be a TV and a player. So it's going to be more money to shell out. I'm still trying to get a PS5 because I've been with PlayStation since the beginning. Gaming started back in Coleco days. So that was before Atari. So I'm quite the tech guy. I love a lot of new technology. I'm always buying the newest tech. So once again, between $10,000 to $12,000 a year I spend on just tech.
You've been doing it for a minute. I like it. Boy, so many different things taking your money. Man, how do I even award points this time? I know, like this. Sarah, you're going to get 4 points because I was just enthralled with your story. I loved your delivery. Even if the amount of money you spent was not so huge in the grand scheme of things, it was the effort to get there that really sold it for me. And some, like I said, some people probably judged you for doing that, but not me. I understand. I get it. I'm right there with you. So 4 points to you. John, you're going to get 3 points. Now I give you 3 points, and here's why. Because exactly what I said when you gave the answer. You need these things, my dude. These aren't things that I feel like anybody could judge you for. Like, they look at your output. By the way, if you guys haven't checked out John's work, he does some amazing animation and comic stuff. Check it out. But he needs these. These are tools of the trade. You know what I mean? This is like, these are needs, not necessarily crazy expenditures. So I give you 3 points because they are expensive. I won't doubt you there. But I can't mark them as silly. Dan, I like the idea that you own every gaming system. I'm giving you 4 points because I think that that's super fun. If I could own every gaming system, or if I would have had the forethought when I was a youngster to hang on to the gaming systems that I did have, I would. Because I literally just shelled out $100 to buy a Sega Dreamcast about a month ago, which I owned when I was like, I don't know, 16 anyway, but I sold at a garage sale for probably like 15 bucks. So I can understand and I respect it. 4 points to you. Skeeter, I'm going to give you 4 points as well because you have come in with the largest amount of money, I would say, that anyone has dropped on maybe anything, maybe more money than I've seen in my life. I'm poor, guys. So I will tell you right now, this is where the points stand. Sarah with 9 points at the end of round one. John with 8 points. At the end of round one. Dan with 7 points at the end of round one. And Skeeter with 6 points at the end of round one. Skeeter, That means you are the first loser of the last round. Goodbye! Hey, guys. What's going on? You made it to the second round. Welcome. So nice to have you. Now, answer questions for me and dance, monkeys, dance! Round two! Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's round two. Hey, we're going to do some questions and answers. They're going to give some answers. I'm going to... Hey, guys. What's going on? You guys ready? Because things are stepped up a notch here in round two. We're taking it all the way to the small screen, really. Our first question comes on behalf of the magnificent Fear Street film trilogy that just finished its run on Netflix, and the wide consensus that it's pretty dang great, guys. Adapting R.L. Stine's young adult horror novel series into an R-rated series of solid slashers was a total surprise to yours truly. Now, what I really want to know is this. What young adult novel or series do you think is prime for the big or small screen? And give me your best 2-minute elevator pitch. Let's start with Dan.
Oh, man. You had to start with me. I do not. I don't know, because you know what? I never read any young adult stuff, right? So let's say, I've read like a lot of Charlie Brown in that era. So how about Charlie Brown goes slashing, you know, he wants to get back at Lucy for all the time she moved that football, and he's pissed. He wants to go after everybody, and Snoopy too. Don't leave Snoopy out of it. And, that would be it, I guess. So let's go with Charlie Brown.
All right. Charlie Brown for the kill. I like it. I'm pretty sure that existed as a college humor video that circulated on the internet a couple years back. So whether or not you get docked points for stealing someone else's idea, I don't know. We'll have to see. Next up, Sarah, what do you got?
All right, hear me out. Okay, so it's like a dig scene, like archaeological, kind of like Indiana Jones. There's a whole village and they're digging. And there's clearly this British white man who's trying to get this relic in the ground, and then he finds it and it's glowing and it's amazing. And then he opens it and a blinding light shoots out and rays shoot out and he's all confused. But in it is left one single ring with a rose quartz in it, but everything else is missing. And then he goes, "We've lost it. What do we do?" And he's like, "First thing, no witnesses." And the rest of the soldiers that are with this guy murder an entire village. And the only person who survives is a small native boy who's hiding behind a rock. And that small native boy's job is now to go find the rest of the four other rings that escaped out of this cult. And then we meet a Russian girl whose dad is in the mafia. We meet a street like New York kid. We meet this guy who saves his entire African village. It's this whole thing, and it's the real life Captain Planet. I'm telling you, we have time for it. I know it's not young adult, but this shit could be real. And then what happens is they finally get all the four rings, and they, by following this, now this little native boy is now like a young teenager, they bring Captain Planet back, but they don't have the rose quartz ring. So Captain Planet comes back and straight up murders. It's like destruction, kind of like we don't see anybody die, but we know they die, kind of like Superman and Batman. And then they discover that they need the last ring to make the Captain Planet we need. Surprise! The kid who got them all together, he's supposed to have the fifth ring. I'm telling you, this could be legit. It could get hardcore. And I'm so mad that Rick and Morty beat me to it, but I'm telling you, we can do it.
Oh man.
Yes.
That was good. I will say that
I may or may have not written.
I didn't see where it was coming at first. But then once you got there, now I will say, as much as I liked hearing that, I'm pretty sure that was also a college humor short film starring Don Cheadle.
Yes.
As Captain Planet.
Really quick though, can I ask, just maybe the college humor thing, if anybody who was actually in a college humor could raise their hand, maybe they could decide if that was legit or not. Oh, just me? Is I the only one who's actually been in a college humor video? Okay, quick.
Okay, fair. All right. Okay, cool. Perfect. You know what? Your answer was great. Thank you so much. John, what do you got?
Imagine, if you will, in the future, when everyone is eating their freeze-dried food and constipation has become a real issue. All of a sudden, everyone's bowels are backed up, and nobody can do what their body was meant to do. Poop. Taking everybody poops, which is a book that I read as a young adult. I was about 13 when I learned how to read, and that's how this is how it transitions over. But yes, the poop ends up building within their bodies and taking over, making them some kind of parasitic zombie-like creatures that go after each other, and it's all pandemonium and stuff like that. So yeah, everybody poops could be a slasher film or a movie.
Also, it's not, but it should have been a College Humor short. That feels like it totally would have worked. Ah, man, these are good. These are really good. All right, I'm going to award points like this. Dan, I'm going to give you 3 points. Okay? Main for 2 reasons. One, because you made me spit take my fake drink because you said you hadn't read any young adult novels, which is fair, and I understand. Not everyone can read, and that's fine. But I will say that I still gave you 3 points because I loved the idea of a gritty Charlie Brown when I saw that video originally, and I still love it today. So hearing you just remind me of it makes me still like it. So you get 3 points for that, good sir. Sarah, I'm going to give you 4 points. I'm going to give you 4 points, but I'm also going to give you an extra 2 bonus points for just for poning the host of the show. I can admit, when I have witnessed defeat, and it was today, my friend, today, you burned me, and I appreciate it. So I'm going to give you 6 total points for your answer, 4 for your concept, and 2 for just sending me to the local burn unit. John. I don't know if you think you're cheating because you got kittens, but it's working. Okay? It's working. That's all I got to say. I gave you 5 points. Because I appreciated your wholly original concept. Whether or not it deserves to be anything other than right here on The Last Word, it was original, and it was great, and I appreciated it, and I may or may not want a short of that, and Sarah may or may not be able to make that happen with her connection. So, guys, let's get on this. Let's make it happen right away. So, that brings us to question 2. Dun, dun, dun. I think somebody mentioned the multiverse earlier, and it's upon us, you guys. Marvel has officially opened one of, like, I don't know, roughly a billion doors, and the stage is set to see characters from all corners of the Marvel universe spill out onto the silver and small screen. But one thing I can't guarantee we're going to get is a crossover with another brand. Come on, DC Marvel crossover. I want you so bad. If you could mash up or cross over any 2 properties, what would it be? Let's go with John this time. What do you got, John?
So one of my favorite series is the Berserk manga. And I would love to see Guts go against my other favorite character from, like, that kind of setting, Conan the Barbarian. Fighting dragons, demons, magic users, what have you, just having wild adventures. Of course, it would have to be that cantankerous relationship where when they first meet, they're trying to fight each other, but then some big baddie comes in the way and they have to stop their duel to fight that guy. And then they find out through the course of things that they have more alike than they imagined in the beginning. And it would be amazing. Those are my 2 favorite characters, and I'd love to see them just duke it out and be super awesome.
I love that. I'm on board. I can only say that I am familiar with one of them, but I have heard a lot about the Berserk manga. For a minute there, I was confused because I will say I'm pretty sure Keanu Reeves is also putting out a comic book series called Berserk or Berserker. And so for a split second, I was like, is this the Keanu Reeves book that you're talking about? Because interesting. Like, either way, it would have been an interesting pull. Let's go with Dan. What do you got, Dan?
All right. So this is going to be like, this is not going to make any money at all because this is like a 1%er thing. But I really want to see Marvel's Howard the Duck go and do a crossover with Ambush Bug from DC Comics. And I don't know if you guys know what Ambush Bug is, but he was a character. He's kind of like Deadpool, but before Deadpool. Like, he knew he was in a comic book, and he would go around and just cause mischief for Superman. Like, Superman couldn't deal with the guy, and Batman and all these other people. And yeah, but he knew he was in a comic book, and he played with it. And I just thought that'd be great to match him up with something crazy like Howard the Duck. Because we all want a Howard sequel anyway. We all want a reboot. Come on.
It's true.
True. Do we? Well,
yes, John, you know. It is true, okay? Everyone wants it. Everyone
he,
is...
He is going to be in the What If series. I saw that, and I am pretty stoked for that.
Yeah.
There was... I will also throw out, there was a now-canceled Hulu series featuring Howard the Duck that was going to be done by Kevin Smith that got shit-canned, for lack of a better word. But I would have liked to see that. I would have been interested in that. I like anything that uses Howard the Duck. I'm on board. I will say I'm not familiar with Ambush Bug, but what you were describing did kind of remind me of Batmite, if you're familiar with him. He's like the little weird imp character that like pestered Batman all the time, but is like super meta and aware of like that he's in a comic book.
Right.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say there's an episode of Batman Bold or whatever, and Batmite's in it, and Ambush Bug is in it, and they collaborate. So,
all right, I might have to seek that out.
Yeah,
I like finding new things to dig into. Yeah. Sarah, what do you got for us?
First of all, getting a little drunk. Second of all, hear me out now. All right, I'm gonna take liberties here. I'm watching my timer. I'm not gonna do necessarily like a crossover of characters, but a crossover of characters and genre. I want to mix the Harry Potter franchise with the Office franchise. And I want to take the Office's, the highlighting the mundane documentary series, the awkwardness, and put it into Harry Potter, because I want to see a Harry Potter film made like The Office, but it highlights the teachers that we never see, because it's still a fucking school. Somebody's teaching math. Somebody's teaching English. These kids still gotta learn how to function. So I want to see the geometry teacher at Hogwarts that gets no fucking credit, sitting there talking, living their life, and like maybe even as we're doing this crossover, like a big backstory is happening in the background, and someone's just like, "Yeah, I taught the kids how to do algebra, but nobody cared because Harry Potter fought a dragon again. But algebra is still important, and I really just want to highlight the unsung heroes in Hogwarts that we don't really get to see that much." And I think combining both of those, maybe there's a romance, I don't know. I just think it would be really good, because we keep forgetting it's a real school, and maybe we need to give those teachers some credit. So that's kind of the vibe I would like to see in terms of crossover. Especially, I think it'd just be really funny to be like in like the teacher's lounge, and McGonagall's like, "That's my coffee mug," and then there's just like poor like PE teacher in the back like So that's what I'm going for. I think it'd be really cool. That'd be a good crossover. And I know I'm cheating, but I don't care because I'm drunk.
No, that works. I'm on board with that. I will say that kind of reminds me, there was a off-Broadway musical. I think it was called Puffs, which it's was couple, just yeah. It was just like a deep look into like what the all the non-important to the main storyline Hufflepuffs did while like Harry Potter was going on.
I just imagine the end scene where he's like, "And these are the points, but wait, Dumbledore is about to give up a bunch of made up points for no reason to screw over all the kids that actually worked really hard." And then we just pan to a Ravenclaw who's like
Yeah, no, I love that. And actually, that's a perfect segue, because I too am about to give a bunch of points that weren't really earned or matter. So here we go. At the end of question two, the final question of round two, Dan, I love anything to do with Howard the Duck. I wasn't familiar with Ambush Bug, but I'm intrigued. My interest is piqued. So I will be seeking it out to check out what this mashup would be like in my brain. So I'm going to give you 4 points. Solid answer, man. Very solid answer. John, I was only familiar with half of yours, Conan. I did kind of think it was going to be a Keanu Reeves comic book crossover in which Keanu Reeves is the main character, which also would have been pretty cool. Like, I would have been fine with that. But I am interested to find out what you were talking about as well, so I'll be checking that as well. So 4 points to you as well. I just said as well like 5 different times in the same sentence. So beat that, drunk Sarah. Sarah, I am going to award you also 4 points. You all got 4 points because I loved all of these answers. I too would totally watch some sort of Office-like Harry Potter series. I think that's great. I really like What We Do in the Shadows, which is kind of an Office-like version of like vampires and werewolves. And I also think that that concept could totally work in a magical universe of just like, I imagine when you were saying a geometry teacher, like a muggle teacher who is just kind of like aware but unaware of all the magical things that are happening around them. And they're just like, really, like, I went to school for many years to become a geometry teacher. And I really like that idea. So 4 points across the board. That brings our totals to Sarah, 21 points at the end of round two. John, 22 points at the end of round two. And Dan, 17 points at the end of round two. That means Dan is going to be leaving us. Everybody wave goodbye to Dan. Bye, Dan. All right, John, Sarah, the penitent man. You guys made it this far, and I am so excited. I think you two, I mean, I just hope you can survive what's coming in round three. Round three, it's the best round because it's where we declare a winner, and that is what this show's about. Yeah, I like that. That was fun. Guys, I saved the easiest question for last. Like, literally, I don't know how anybody could even, like debate this topic. Like, it's just a flat-out yes or no answer, right? It's just right or wrong, basically. So no pressure. I'm sure you both fall on the right side of things. And that final question is this very simple one. Star Trek or Star Wars? John, go.
I'm going to be a prick and say Battlestar Galactica. if we're going to be honest, no. Like, if we're going
to
be honest,
I thought you were about to mute yourself again. You're like, that's it. Drop the mic.
Okay. I really like the moves that Star Trek is making. Star Wars to me has also, like with the movies, dislike them. But say like The Mandalorian and Rebels and all the side stuff, I'm really digging that. Star Wars is basically what got me into sci-fi when I was a kid, so I had to go with it. But I also love the fuck out of Star Trek.
That's totally fair. Now, I do have to ask, just for clarification purposes, yeah. When you say you like what they've been doing recently, do we mean like the CBS All Access series, or are we talking the JJ Star Trek verse?
No. I like, I like Lower Decks, and I know a lot of people poop on it. Lower Decks are poop. But I think that's really great. I love that the second season is going to be focused on a Riker. I actually had LeVar Burton direct me in NCIS New Orleans. So getting to meet him, by the way, just going to let you guys know, everything you imagine about him
is true.
It's better.
I knew it.
They say don't meet your heroes. If you have the opportunity to, you meet LeVar Burton.
Yeah, so your addendum is don't meet your heroes unless it's
LeVar Burton. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yep. Anyway, and actually, any of the cast from TNG, they're all super great people. So
that feels right. That actually feels right.
Absolutely.
I believe that.
So that's why it's such a close call, because they're bringing all those series back now.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just going to end.
That's I was about minutes. To say, you sound like you're arguing yourself in the other direction. Okay. All right, that's good. Sarah, what do you think?
All right, this is where I lose everybody who likes me in the comments right now. I'm going to tell you that it is impossible to answer, and here is why. One, as someone who was at the first Comic-Con and was there during the Star Wars concert with J.J. Abrams, high five Mark Hamill, all that shit. Also ran a karaoke Star Trek event where I got to hang out with Garrett Wang. Also met one of my herrings from Voyager. I'm actually both. So deep, cosplayed Ayala Sakura from Star Wars, currently working in my Jadzia Dax. Real fan. Here's something, and I'm going to piss people off. First of all, Star Wars is not sci-fi. Star Wars is fantasy. Star Trek is sci-fi. Here I go. People who like black and white like Star Wars. People who like the gray like Star Trek. That is their biggest difference. All of Star Trek storylines are the gray line, the border. We talk about, we have our refugees. We have our concept of, you know, when we're allowed to contact a civilization. It's very complicated, right? Star Trek is always very muddled. While in Star Wars, and this is not me observing, these are literally the plot lines. In Star Wars, there is an epic battle. There is a good versus bad. There is an end game. While in Star Trek, we always end with a, but did we make the right decision? Or was this the right way to go? It's a thinker. And my big deal is that I think that they're both fantastic, but as a human being, we like different entertainment or we're ready for a different storyline. And I found that most people early on like Star Wars over Star Trek, but once they've lived a little or they've experienced some sort of tragedy or gray area, and this is not like a, you're dumb. It's like an age thing. It's honestly just an age thing. Then you start to lean towards Star Trek because you realize that it's not black and white. And if you guys may not disagree with me, but keep in mind, literally every single Star Wars, minus the, I'm Xing out the Disney Plus TV shows, they've been good versus bad. Literally, the new films was just the Death Star times three. Like, that's what we fucking created. Like, it's on paper. While Star Trek from the very beginning is questions, questions. Even the Kobayashi Maru and Kirk beating it was a question of, was it correct? What was morally this? And I, that's why I clapped so hard for the Battlestar, because that was that really good in between. And so I think that it's not that one is better than the other. I think that we require, our brains require different stimulations depending on our stages of life. And I think that's, that's, and depending on where you fall on that spectrum is what's good or bad. And I, people might hate me for that, but I'm a true both. And it's impossible to answer because it depends on where you are in your journey in life.
Okay. Yes, John, you want to say something?
So one of the reasons why I now have to say I have to disagree with you because of the universe of J.J. Abrams, of him making the Star Trek that is more like he wants the action-oriented Star Trek. Before, yes, like during TNG and Discovery and Voyager and all that. Sorry, not Discovery. Voyager and Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine was amazing. And I loved, I loved being able to get to know the Ferengi, who, even though you have replicators, their whole religion is basically, or everything is based on currency. That was amazing. I love the currency. I love the political, the socio-economical things that about Star Trek. But once the Abrams movies came out, and they started trying to change it and make it more action-oriented, where they did have a bad guy as a goal. That's why I didn't just straight up go Star Trek. But there's also the reason I couldn't go Star Wars, because all the new movies coming out from that are basically rubbish.
Well, maybe we should just, Abrams should just be pushed out, because it sounds like
kind of pushed out. Most definitely.
We just because both series have an Abrams chapter, and we can just cut that out. But I'm just saying, you watch Deep Space Nine now, and that's exactly what's happening in our camps going on right now on the border. Like, that shit came out a decade before, and it's still, it's just like Last Airbender. It's relevant, and it's the gray area, but we still need to know right from wrong, which is why we have Star Wars. And I'm just saying, you gotta grow up, and you travel, and you experience it. Yeah, I'm just...
All right. I've heard enough. I'm ready to make a decision. I will say what I thought was going to be a very simple question. I didn't think it was going to be a simple question. Turned into one of the best final rounds that I have been a part of so far. These were both great arguments. First, one quick question, John. When we're talking Battlestar Galactica, are we talking the Ronald D. Moore Battlestar Galactica? Or are we talking
Caprica 6? That was some, because that's one of the things that I like about science, and you know I write science fiction, I sent you the script, so a lot of the stuff that I like about science fiction isn't so, it's the questions that we ask, the gray areas. Sure, it's in space and things are happening, and you can kind of come up with these events that you just explain away by saying, oh, well, it's science-y, timey-wimey, whatever. But it's really the human elements. Like, we all go through those things, it just happens to be taking place in space. With you know, these stakes are a little higher because there's world-ending events. and cyborgs are trying to take over, but it's still that human element, the connection that really drives a story. And that's what I really like about Battlestar Galactica and so many other sci-fis that I could list off, but that's why I listed it. Anyway.
All right. So here's kind of where I fall. Here's a little host story. So as a kid, I grew up watching Star Wars, right? Star Wars was my introduction as well to sci-fi in general, or what I knew of sci-fi at the time. And since then, I didn't discover Star Trek until way late in the game. I was probably an early adult when I started discovering Star Trek. And I will tell you this, and it's very interesting how this happened. The J.J. Abrams movies was really kind of my first taste of Star Trek that I got. And for better or for worse, made me dive deeper into the Star Trek world by going back and watching, because I was like, maybe I've been missing something this whole time. Like, this was pretty fun. Like, this reminded me of Star Wars. And I went back, and what I found was that I really, really, really liked the Star Trek world. Like, I really enjoyed exactly what both of you have described in various ways, which was I went back and what I really fell in love with was TNG. I mean, that's why I said that totally makes sense that LeVar would be awesome, because I have a feeling everyone from that cast is awesome because they made something awesome. And it's not the fact that there was a character named Q that has anything to do with it or my vanity, but I thought it was pretty cool. And so I agree with Sarah's breakdown of it, that I do think that as my tastes developed and as I developed as kind of a person with life experiences, I found more to relate to in Star Trek than I did in Star Wars. I do think Star Wars is fantastic, and I will, you know, go down swinging for anybody who says Star Wars sucks. I love Star Wars, but I think I like both of them. But as a storyteller now in my later years, I admire what has been done with Star Trek more, because I think it has been taken in a million different directions, some successful, some not successful. And unfortunately, outside of the books, which a lot of are no longer canon per Disney for Star Wars, I can't say the same thing has been done on film or any sort of film series or television for Star Wars. And so I think that their storytelling up to this point has been relatively limited. Like I said, outside of the extended universe books, which were awesome. But unfortunately, we're now getting some good television series. So I agree with both of you. And I think both of you agree with each other, oddly enough. I think, like, the more John talked, the more he seemed to talk himself out of Star Wars and into Star Trek. Sarah, I know you love both. So I think that there can be a world that exists with both fandoms loving each other and the properties, right?
I think that's the crossover. That's the crossover we need to see.
What that is, I am so surprised nobody said that. That would literally break the universe. I think if there was an event that would cause the multiverse to happen and to have tangent timelines, it would be Star Wars. Well, I mean, it kind of happened. Abrams
Quentin, actually, I think fanboys already did that, so I'm going to have to take away 2 points from you.
That's fair. You just keep wanting to... I'm a glutton for punishment. You keep trying to earn extra points by burning me, and it's working. I will say this. Here, what it came down to was the explanation. Because both of you, I think, had valid points. Both of you had great concepts. I think both of you, like I said, kind of agreed. And I think ultimately it comes down to whose opinion I thought was the most thought out. And it's gonna be Sarah. So Sarah, I'm gonna give you a billion points. John, it doesn't matter how many points I give you, because Sarah is the winner of tonight's The Last Word. So we're gonna say bye momentarily to John. Goodbye, John. Sarah, you did it.
I did it.
You have reached the highest echelon possible on The Last Word. And I just want to
thank I want to thank Donald Trump and guns and the Second Amendment. I'm just kidding. No, no, no.
I'm gonna take you full screen and I'm gonna give you your unfiltered 30 seconds. You ready?
No, I'm not. All right.
It's gonna happen. Here we go. First off, let me give you the appropriate overlay here. Yep. There you go. And your 30 seconds starts now.
Hi, I didn't know this was going to happen if I won. Please listen to me on the G-Spot on the Project Nerd channel. Also, on a side note, on my day job, please pay your taxes because I help people who are lower income and need exposure to the arts. So please make sure to support your local rec centers. Also, I want to go ahead and I want to thank New Amsterdam Gin for getting me through this. That was really fantastic. And I want to remind everybody to please respect women and also go ahead and support your local schools. And if I could say anything else, I remember I was paying attention to the comments. So may I say space pussy? May I say we need more Howard the Duck? And may I say hello, Mia? And also, thank you for having me here. And this is a very long time by myself. So thank you so much. And
I just wanted to see where you're going to go with it. Originally, I was like, I should cut her. The 30 seconds is over. And I'm like, no, this is kind of fun because I think she's just throwing it out there. Let's bring everybody back to join our winner, Sarah, Skeeter, John, Dan. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this episode of The Last Round. And just a reminder to all of you watching out there, check out project-nerd.com for all of your nerd goodness. If you liked this show, it's there. If you didn't like this show, we got other shows, so don't worry about it. We got 13 plus podcasts. We got 7 plus different video series on the YouTube channel. Check us out. There's something that you will like. I guarantee it. And until next time, this has been The Last Word. We'll see you guys. Bye!